going to be presenting today on the acceptance of opt-out routine screening at an urban emergency department, which, of course, is George Washington University's emergency department. And just so you know, my presentation will sound very similar to the presentations before me, but I will have some other unique data. But our data is a part of the data that Amanda presented. And I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, particularly Jeremy Brown, who is the director of research at the George Washington University Department of Emergency Medicine. And he is the person who single-handedly spearheaded the effort to get routine testing done in the emergency department. I'd also like to just mention Marcia Martin, who's in the audience today, and she is one of the people who also spearheaded from the Department of Health and with Leo Rennie and other people to get routine testing done in the district. So, this presentation could take 40 minutes, given
yeah, it's a system, it is a system-wide problem, so they're all experiencing. Okay. Everyone is experiencing this. So.
Okay. So, just a brief outline of what I'm going to talk about. I'll talk about HIV screening and then the new CDC recommendations for routine screening for HIV, and talk about what other emergency departments are doing. Then I'll talk about how the GW emergency department data, what was collected, and then go through results, conclusions, talk about some limitations and strengths, and also discussion and future research ideas. So of the and a lot of this, again, was reported by people before me, but of the estimated 1 million individuals who are HIV infected in the U.S., the CDC estimates that 25 of those individuals are currently unaware of their status. In addition, the CDC estimates that about 40% of newly identified infections progress to AIDS within 12 months, suggesting that traditional means for HIV testing come too late for a lot of people. So an HIV is a unique disease, well, it's not a unique disease, but it's a life-threatening disease which actually makes it makes a justification for screening actually quite good. Screening for HIV is reliable, it's inexpensive, and it's non-invasive. In addition, early detection of HIV infection can prolong your life with adequate treatment. And also, anticipated benefits of early detection definitely outweigh the cost of screening. So to that end, the CDC has put out a series of recommendations for routine HIV screening. The latest one came out in 2006 of September, which state that all healthcare settings should offer, healthcare settings including emergency departments, should offer voluntary routine HIV screening for individuals aged 13 to 64 years old. And one of the changes in the new recommendations was offering opt-out screening, so routine voluntary screening, so that individuals were automatically offered screening and they had to actively opt out by declining or deferring testing. Also, in the recommendations, it stated that HIV testing should be part of normal medical care, and therefore, because of that, a separate written consent form is not required, or should not be required. And also, HIV prevention counseling should not be a barrier for HIV testing in these healthcare settings. So I'll talk a little bit about what other emergency departments are doing. Overall, HIV screening in emergency departments is fairly limited. An unpublished national survey of hospitals indicated that only 57% of emergency departments actually even offer HIV testing, and that's generally when someone asks for testing that they can offer the test. Some barriers to implementation that have been identified include a lack of mechanism for following up patients who get tested. So for example, anyone who gets tested, I think this study was actually these barriers come from a paper from 2002, and that was sort of prior to these recent advancements in rapid testing. But lack of mechanism for following up patients who have to come back 2 weeks later to get their test results. So advances in screening actually have sort of obviated that barrier. Also, the inability or lack of certification of emergency department staff to provide counseling, which was mentioned before in the earlier presentations, and also a belief that risk assessment and testing procedures are just too time-consuming. Now, among emergency departments that do conduct HIV testing, past reports have focused on targeting, doing a risk assessment to target high-risk groups, including injection drug users, individuals with STD symptoms, men who have sex with men, and pregnant women. There is a recent report of adoption of routine testing in an emergency department in Cook County Hospital in Chicago, which has reported an test acceptance rate of 48 to 59%. And as Dr. Castell has nicely described, Washington, D.C. has the highest AIDS case rate in the country. Just to put it in context, Washington, D.C. has, in 2005, this is data reported in 2005, Washington, D.C. had AIDS case rate of 128.4 per 100,000 population. I guess new updated data are coming out relatively soon. But I didn't want to put that in my data because it has not officially been released. So to that end, in that context, because D.C. has the highest AIDS case and HIV case rate in the country, the HIV/AIDS Administration launched an ambitious HIV testing campaign in 2006, June 2006, called Come Together D.C. Get Screened for HIV. And that testing campaign encouraged the testing of all D.C. residents aged 14 to 84. And the Department of Health, HIV/AIDS Administration, distributed OraQuick Advanced Rapid HIV Test free of charge to all health facilities that were willing to participate in the screening campaign. And as mentioned before, Washington, D.C. is one of the first, as far as we know, the first city to implement, to systematize and implement routine testing citywide. And I'll tell you a little bit about George Washington's Emergency Department. It's located in downtown Washington, D.C. It sees nearly 60,000 patients a year. It serves patients from all over the city, including high to low income neighborhoods, so from Georgetown, which is very posh and rich, to Wards 8 and Ward 7, which are the lowest income wards. And in September 2006, the Emergency Department implemented a routine HIV screening as part of the D.C. testing campaign and also in conjunction with the new CDC routine testing guidelines. And as far as we know, it also is one of the few emergency departments in the nation to offer routine opt-out testing. So the specific aims of this analysis, secondary data analysis, is to examine the feasibility and acceptance of routine testing at an urban emergency department, and also to identify characteristics of individuals who accepted the HIV test and who tested, and individuals who tested preliminary positive. Okay, so the screening campaign at George Washington University offered free routine HIV screening to all emergency room patients seeking care. And again, we use the opt-out method where in all individuals who were seeking care, given certain eligibility criteria, would be tested for HIV unless they opted out or declined the screening. HIV tests were offered by trained medical students between the hours of 8 a.m. and midnight. And inclusion of being part of the campaign was actually very broad. You just needed to be between the ages of 14 and 84 and had to be English or Spanish speaking. Now, exclusion, people were excluded if they were self-reported being already HIV positive, if they were in altered mental state, and also if they were patients who required urgent medical care. So this is just a little my failed attempt at a flow chart of the testing flow of patients. So patients would present at George Washington Emergency, the emergency room. They'd be triaged at intake, and then a determination would be made whether or not they had an urgent or needed urgent or non-urgent care. Individuals who did not require urgent care would be asked for self-reported HIV status as part of their intake. And individuals who had an unknown HIV status or were who reported being negative were offered confidential testing. And patients were then allowed to accept or decline the test. And decliners received usual emergency department care. Acceptors were tested using the OraQuick, and preliminary test results were returned to the patient within 20 to 40 minutes. Preliminary positive individuals were referred for confirmatory testing either at the George Washington Infectious Disease Clinic or at a local free clinic, which Leo had mentioned earlier. It's actually Whitman Walker. So the data that we used for this analysis were collected between September 2006 and October 2007, and we had access to just the basic data from the intake records, including age, gender, race, medical insurance status, zip code, residence, acceptance of the test, and preliminary test results. In terms of data analysis, we categorized age into quartiles based on the distribution of the data. Zip code was converted into residence in the tri-state area, Maryland, D.C., or Virginia, versus outside the tri-state area. We used chi-square tests and logistic regressions to assess univariate associations. Statistical significance was set at 0.05. We used STATA to analyze our data, and we obtained GW-IRB approval to use the de-identified data for this analysis. So a total of 8,662 individuals were approached for HIV screening. Of those individuals, 44% were male. The average mean age was 37, with a standard deviation of 13. About half were black and a third were white, with lower proportions being Hispanic and Asian. D.C., the majority of individuals lived in D.C. area, 71%, and more than half had private health insurance compared to 17.5% who had public health insurance or no health insurance. And overall test acceptance was 54.3%, so 4,695 individuals accepted HIV screening. So this slide is a little busy, but we looked at test acceptance by demographic characteristics, and you can see that females, a higher proportion of females accepted the test than males, but it was not statistically significant. And you can see that by age, younger individuals accepted testing than older individuals, and that comes through in the odds ratio, where you can see sort of like an opposite dose response effect, where the older, as age increases, likelihood of test acceptance decreases. In addition, blacks were significantly more likely to accept testing than whites. They were 1.13, they were 13% more likely to accept testing. And interestingly enough, Asians were significantly less likely to accept testing than whites. We also looked at residents, and we found that D.C. residents, not surprisingly, were more likely to be tested than individuals living outside of the area. And we also saw that in terms of insurance status, people with public health insurance, Medicaid or Medicare, were significantly more likely to accept testing than individuals who had private insurance. Moving on to preliminary test results, we had an overall 49 individuals tested preliminary positive for an overall preliminary positive rate of 1.04%. males were significantly more likely to test positive than women. There was no significant differences by age. And blacks were also significantly more likely to be positive. So in conclusion, we saw that 54% of individuals coming to the emergency department who were offered the test accepted the test. And individuals who were younger, black, who were D.C. residents and had public health insurance were significantly more likely to accept testing. And Asians were actually less likely than whites to accept testing. We also had a preliminary positive rate of 1%. And these individuals were more likely to be black and male and black. So there are a couple of limitations to the data that were collected. The testing was offered during limited times during the day, but testing was offered at peak operation hours between 8 a.m. and midnight. So while it's not fully representative of the emergency department population, they managed to catch most individuals who were eligible for testing. Also, limited data were available on, for example, reasons for accepting or refusing the test. Those data were not collected systematically, so it would have been nice if we had that information to understand why people were refusing to be tested. We also had incomplete data on confirmed HIV status, and I'll describe that a little bit later. We actually, Leo mentioned, that there was a relationship with Whitman Walker Clinic to forward all the preliminary positives for confirmatory testing. However, that relationship wasn't established, I think, until a couple of months or several months into the program. So there were actually, we don't have complete data on whether or not people actually received a confirmatory test and whether or not they were linked into care. So, but in terms of strengths, the proof of concept was achieved. So we saw that routine testing in the emergency department was feasible and it was acceptable, and that 54% acceptance rate actually falls in line with previous studies done in other cities, or in Chicago at least. And also, these are the only data from emergencies from any emergency room in the district that offers routine testing. We also had a large sample size, including patients from all socioeconomic groups. So as a matter of just to sort of bring it back to the larger thing, testing in the emergency department actually ended up being an important component of the routine testing campaign. Nearly 20% of the tests conducted for the campaign were done at the George Washington University Emergency Department. And based on the prevalence of preliminary positives that we found in the emergency department, we'll continue testing the emergency department per CDC recommendations, which says that any prevalence above 0.1% should conduct routine screening. We also saw that testing in the emergency department is feasible, but improvements to the system need to be made. Efforts need to be made to increase test acceptance in the emergency department, and efforts also need to be made to improve the linkage to confirmatory testing and HIV care after testing preliminary positive. In terms of future research, what we'd like to do is explore reasons for refusal to test. It would be nice to be able to link reasons for testing to their actual, and also reasons for testing to their actual acceptance or refusal, but also linking reported HIV risk behaviors to their acceptance or refusal. Also, interventions are needed. We'd like to explore interventions to improve acceptance of HIV screening, and our group actually has put together a proposal to look at, to conduct a randomized trial of a video educational module about HIV screening in the emergency waiting room for a captive audience that is there. And also, it would be beneficial to have a formal cost-benefit study of offering HIV screening in the emergency department, looking at issues of increased length of stay, the cost of the test kits, HIV counselors paying their salaries, and doing on-site confirmatory testing, and weighing all of that in terms of anticipated benefit of being able to identify newly positive HIV individuals. so that's basically it. I just want to, the next slide, whenever that comes up, we'll acknowledge individuals who helped with this program, including Department of Health, HIV Administration, AIDS Administration staff, Tiffany West, Marie Sansone, Donald Hitchcock, and also the GW medical student volunteers who did the testing. Thank you.